Dovin Eisenheim, Pauschers, Schlach and Chor. I started doing it away in Manchester.
Mic's not working, we don't need a mic, it's fine. It's not working, you shouldn't be blocking me either. Better that way. Okay. Ready to go? Okay, let's turn this down. Okay, Rabbi, say good morning. It's always nice to be here. Nice to join you. I was recently giving this course in public speaking. I was doing this course for the members of the Koila, Weissmandel's Koila. So we were discussing stories. I was saying how personal stories always have a special ring to them. If you tell a personal story rather than telling another story, number one, you tell a story from Pesach Kron's book, chances are somebody else has read the story already. You start the story and everybody goes, oh, yeah, I heard that one before. So another story, yeah, that's Prusansky, yeah, that one we also heard already. Yeah, that was last week in the Hamad, yeah, that's Nachman Zeltzer. It'll be very hard to tell a story that nobody knows. I always find that if you start telling stories from the old Pesach Kron books, so they're not as in style anymore because they were written 20, 30 years ago. So you can tell a story from there. People are like, where'd you hear such a story, Pesach Kron? Really? What book do you write in? His first one. Oh, it's a long time ago. Right? But the other thing is that nobody will ever have, you'll never run out of personal stories. You never get exhausted from telling personal stories because they keep on happening to you. So they said, it's just not true. I said, what's not true? It doesn't happen. You know, you tell us stories that happen to you, nothing ever happens to us. So it's not true that nothing ever happens to you. It's having an eye for realizing what is or what isn't a story. Even a story that's not much of a story, if it's a personal story, becomes a story. Right? And I think the same is true with halacha as well, which is what I want to discuss today. You know, you go through certain experiences in life. Sometimes it's shyness that you get, but sometimes it's just experiences in life. And as you go through the experiences, if your eyes are open, you'll realize that there are lots of shyness going on over here. Since your eyes aren't open, or since you're not looking, you'll miss them. You'll pass over them. So speaking of Passover, let's talk about Pesach. Okay? What happened was is like this. We went away for the second day's Yom Tov. We were taken away to a hotel. And at that hotel, on the last day of Yom Tov, and I was there 3-4 years ago also, they had on the first day of Yom Tov, they had a special Kiddush outside. Because you have to have Shalosh Suddas, 3 Suddas, and it gets complicated exactly how to do it and how not to do it. So what they did is, you davened Shachris. And after Shachris and Musaf and everything else you need to daven, there was a Kiddush that was set up outside in the garden. So set up a Kiddush in the garden. And you made Kiddush, you ate. This was about 12 o'clock. And then lunch was called for about 2, half past 2. Anybody who's been to hotels knows, you might think to yourself, well, if there was a big Kiddush at 12 o'clock, who wants to eat at 2 o'clock? That's a good kasha if you've never been to a hotel before. If you've been to a Jewish hotel, you know that's not a kasha because you sit and eat all day long. That's what you do. It's the pastime. You go from Suda to Suda and from meal to meal. And in between, there's an open coffee place that people have coffee and tea and cake all day long. Mamas, you come out 3, 4, 5 kilos heavier over 1 week of Pesach. So they're making Kiddush there, 12 o'clock, out on the lawn. And I'd like to see, I don't know if we'll manage both of these shaylas. There's a good chance we won't, but let's see. So there were two shaylas that came up over there. One shayla is, well, they're both, well, one shayla is a Pesach shayla, and one shayla is more a general shayla. The general shayla that came up is, can you have a Kiddush out on the grass? It's a nice idea, but can you have a Kiddush out in the lawn? And this is something that's only, well, when's the last time you've been to Kiddush without drink? Yeah? Yeah, you never had a Kiddush, so we'll get to that soon. So that's number one. Number two, and this already is a shaila that you, that's not only in Italy and not only in a hotel, the shaila really is, in general, how do you go about Kiddush B'Mokum Suda? How do you go about Kiddush B'Mokum Suda in such a case? And how do you make this Kiddush B'Mokum Suda not only last for yourself, or for the person who's made Kiddush, but for everybody else? What do we do about it? Okay? So those are the shaylos that we're going to discuss, hopefully. Let's go through it. So let's start first with the, because this is not the Pesach shaylos, let's start with the Shabbos shaylos first. The Shabbos shaylos is an interesting shaylos, and it's brought up in Simon Shin Lamed Vav. So the Gemara in Eruvin speaks about a whole bunch of different things you can do, you cannot do, and in the end the Gemara paskins that we hold like Rav Shimon. And Rav Shimon holds, Dovah Shein Miskaven is Mutter. Meaning, let's go through a few terms. There are things that you do where you have no kavana to do something else, but that something else is a malacha on Shabbos. So let's say, let's go back to the case that most people discuss. You're trying to move a bench from A to B in your garden. So you take your bench and you pull your bench along, and what's going to happening is the charitz, there will be a furrow that will be made by it. So making a furrow in the ground on Shabbos is an isra of chayrish. So you should have a problem, you shouldn't be allowed to move it. However, you have, to mitigate this problem, you have what's called Dovah Shem is Kamen, which means, what's my intention? My intention at the moment is to do what? To move the bench. That's my intention. I had no intention whatsoever to make a furrow in the ground. So there you have a machlekes, Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon. Rav Yehuda says, we'll get to Psikresh in a minute. We're not up to Psikresh yet. That's the next step. Yeah? They have to be taken one at a time. Yeah? First you have to come to Rav Shimon. Come then come to Psikresh. So Rav Yehuda says, I'm sorry, you're making a furrow in the ground. This is awesome. Rav Shimon says, but I'm not doing an action of making a furrow in the ground. I'm doing an action of moving the bench. Incidentally, it'll also make a furrow in the ground. That's called Dovah Shem Miskaven. Something happens which is osur, could even be osur midaraisa, but you're not mechaven to do it. So now, we have to move on to the second thing, which is what you mentioned before. There's also another thing to keep in mind, which is called a psikresha. Psikresha means when you do this, it is impossible for the other thing not to happen. Like the Gemara says, psikresha v'lo yamus. You cannot cut off the head of a chicken. I know the Gemara gives, it's a very strange example. I'm not sure why the Gemara gives that example of all examples. But let's say somebody wanted to play with the head of a chicken for some reason. And they cut the head of the chicken on Shabbos to play with it. So Gemara says, when you cut the head of a chicken, you're going to kill the chicken. Like it or leave it, it's going to be dead. So therefore, because the chicken dies at that point, you've definitely killed the chicken. So you say, but I am not planning on killing the chicken. What am I doing? I want to play with the head of the chicken. God of the chicken died. That's a Dovah Shem Miskaven. To which we say, Dovah Shem Miskaven has a limitation. I can say, yes, I wasn't planning on killing the chicken. I can say that. I can only say that, though, when it's not a psikresha. When it's not an inevitable outcome of what I'm going to do. But if it's inevitable that what I'm saying is going to happen, so then it's a psikresha, and then you're for sure you'll be chayv.
It's not pasa, because it's...
I'm sorry?
Not pasa, you're shy, because it's, you might not spill your drink.
Okay, so we're getting this. So we're going through it slowly. We have to go one thing at a time. I'm setting it up. You're saying a good point. We're going to have to get to that. Yeah? Which is why it's not going to be considered a psikresha in this instance. If it was a psikresha, then it for sure be an issue. So we'll get soon to the other case, the first case, and then we'll get from there to the Ramo. So you have the psikresha. Now, these things are Dovah Shem Miskaven and psikresha, etc. They are very important. In modern halacha, these questions come up all the time. You might say, oh, so that's not, you know, when's the last time I dragged a bench? Opening of a fridge? If you have a fridge that has a motor and a fan that turns off every time you open it. So there you have a psik reisha. You open it up, it's a dov shem iskaven. I'm not planning on turning off the fan, but it's a psik reisha because every time I open it up, the way the electronics has been wired together, you have magnets, whatever else it is, every time I open it up, it's going to stop it, etc., etc. Ovens, you want to take something out of an oven, you'll have the same issue. Does it stop working? Does it? All these things have become a problem. So in modern technology, these points, these machlokes and of dov shem iskaven of psik reisha become very, very relevant. But be that as it may, I don't want to get into that. That's not today's topic. Maybe a different time. I think we did say that. Somebody asked that we should speak about that. I think it was either electronic doors or things like that. There was a discussion about it. However, now we come back to our case. So the Gemara spoke about walking on grass. Can you walk on grass when the grass is wet, or can you walk on the grass when the grass is dry? Anybody who's walked on grass will know that when they get home, one of the first things they need to do is take off the shoes. Why? Otherwise, you'll leave a trail of grass all over your carpet, or your laminate, or whatever else you have at home. You don't really want to have that. So can you walk on grass? If you know that you're going to walk on grass, you're going to be pulling out grass from the ground. So are you allowed to walk on grass? Maybe you're not allowed to walk through your back garden. So the Shulchan Aruch paskens, mutar leil chagav asavim, you're allowed to walk on top of grass, regardless of the lachem yaveshim. Kim shem iskaven liplosh, because you're not planning on pulling out grass. And I guess, with each step, you cannot say for certain that each step is going to pull out grass. At one point or another, maybe you will pull out grass, but it's not of segregation. Avol, ha'oichli meginois, somebody who's eating in a garden, asurim lito yedeim al asavim, you cannot wash your hands on the grass, shemashkinoisum, because through that you will be giving it sustenance. And that's zoireya. Abishen mechavnim, psik reishu. There it's different, because even though it's dov shem iskaven, it's still psik reishu. You're going to go and you're going to say, okay, we have to wash until you're dying. So you go outside and you wash until you're dying on the grass. So what is your kavana? What are you doing now? I'm washing until you're dying. What happens as an inevitable outcome of your washing Netilas Yadayim? You're watering the grass. You'll have to water the grass, because when you pour water on top of grass, that's watering grass. So then, that will be awesome. However, he says, Meraglaim or Shamashkim, which are not Matzmiach, that you will be allowed to do. Anything which is acidic, which will not have the properties of helping the grass grow, you would be allowed to do that. Again, I don't think you can wash until you're done with meragaim, so I don't think that will really help you in that instance. Says the Ramo, V'lochein, therefore, Toiv lahachmir shaloi lecho beginois, im yishtamisham im mayim. It's better not to eat in a garden if you're going to be using water. Debekoishi yesh lizar shaloi yibusham mayim. It's very hard when you're sitting out in a garden and you're eating, to ensure that you're not going to spill water. And this becomes negea, by the way, becomes negea on sukkahs as well. So it depends where you put your sukkah. If you have flax stones outside, so you have flax stones, so that's fine. But let's say you don't have flax stones, you don't have any, your back garden, you don't have a built-in sukkah, so your sukkah needs to go in your back garden. Your sukkah is directly on the grass. You got a real issue there. Because every time you're going to spill a drink, you're going to be watering the grass. So if you do that, you'll need to put some kind of plastic underneath. Pardon? Let me say something. Okay, and opening up the roof is the other question. Can you open up the roof? Yeah? So that you'll have a big problem with that as well. Because if you have a roof that has, after it's rained, there's always remains of the water on the roof. You open it up, all that water is going to come cascading down onto the grass. So you have an issue.
Excuse me, but your child, it's not your garden.
So we're going to have to come to that. We're going to come to that. Yeah? So Morgan Avraham has that as a heter. We're going to come to that. So Lemaisa, the Ramah says over here that you're not supposed to go and do that. You're not supposed to eat out in a garden. So what's the halacha? So now I'm wondering, okay, so I went to Chasna, and it was right after Pesach, and I had the good fortune of Rav Horitz coming to the Chasna, and the seat next to me was free. And I was sitting right next to where he was going to speak from, so he just came and he plonked himself down next to me. He was there for like 10, 15 minutes and called him to speak, then he came back and he left. But I had 15 minutes of being able to speak to Rav Horowitz, which was lovely, very, very nice. So I asked Rav Horowitz a shaila. So Haaretz mentioned what you said. So let's see how he where this comes from, this thing. Says the Ramo, not the Ramo, sorry, says the Magen Avraham, that what we have over here is, let's look back at what we said. We said, it's better to be machmir. Why? Because she'ef shalizah shalip l'shamayim. It's impossible to be careful that water shouldn't spill. And the truth is, whilst I was at that Kiddush, I did see people spilling. Because when you have 50 to 100 people sitting out in a garden, and it was a big, nice garden, it was sunny out, it was beautiful. But what are the chances of somebody not spilling water? So he brings over here, first of all, the Taz has another issue. He says, if you have a problem carrying there, then it'll make it's a problem regardless. So he writes over here, Psik Reishahu, the Mishabura quotes, when you spill water on it, it's Yafsha Shalay Yaila Gadlam. What happens if you're now going to eat in a garden that doesn't belong to you? And not of a person whom you're very fond of either. Yesh matir, there are those that are matter. Why? The smear like him nipsik reisha deloy nichalehu shari af lechatchila. So now we want to say the following. That's a psik reisha deloy nichale, which is a whole sugya we'll discuss in a minute from Simen Shin Chof, the sugya of the spout. So let's go back, let's go to that case. Let's speak about that for a second. Let's come back to our case. There's a discussion in halachas of Schita. In the olden days, or maybe not even in the olden days, even nowadays I have it, they used to use linen as a washer. You know, like when you, anybody ever done any elementary plumbing at home without ruining the entire house. So you know that in any time you have to put things together, if you're going to have to put two pipes together, so what's going to make sure that the water is not going to come from one pipe, it's not going to come leaking out? So there's a piece of plastic that you put in, called a washer, and then when you screw it together, that plastic makes it airtight, and once that's been screwed together like that, the water remains inside. That's the concept of a washer. Now, in the olden days, they didn't have ready-made pieces of plastic that fit perfectly into the holes or into the different pipes that you needed. Instead, what they used was linen. Now, I remember this years ago, about 13, 14 years ago, when I lived in Eretz Yisrael, we had a water meter that was leaking. And we had an upstairs neighbor who was a fix-it guy for yeshiva. And he came to me, he goes, "Nashachin, mashlomcha, what happened? Yeah, your water meter is leaking." I said, "Oh." He says, "Well, you're lucky because it's leaking on the side before it goes." Since it's an Eretz Yisrael, it goes through this meter and comes back out on the other side. So if it's leaking on the side before it goes through the meter, so then it's not the end of the world because they're not charging you for the water that's leaking out. If it's leaking on the other side, then you have a real issue. So he says, "It's leaking on the good side." But I said, "So what I do?" He says, "Don't worry, I'll sort it out for you." So he closed the water tap and he unscrewed the whole thing, and then he says, "Bo ne'agel chamashu." And he took out this flax, and he folded it over, and he put it there on top of the spout, and he screwed it back together again, and that was it. It stopped leaking. Yeah? See, it's not only actual plastic you can use linen for it as well. And so in the olden days, when they used to have a barrel, what you had was, you had to take a barrel, you had to put a spout in the barrel to be able to get the wine out of the barrel. Unless you took a ladle and ladled it out from the top. But if you put a spout in the barrel, so how would you make sure that when you put the spout in the barrel that it would not, because if it starts leaking, every bit that it leaks, you're losing wine. If it leaks a lot, you know, if you had the spout in for a week or for 2 weeks, you can end up losing 2, 3, 5 liters of wine. So what they did was you had the spout, and then the spout, around the spout, you used to put cloth, and you used to put it in, and that cloth used to get saturated and used to blow. It used to expand, and when it saturated and expanded, then it would make it airtight, and then that way you were able to make sure that the wine would stay in. That's what he speaks about over there. So now the question is, if you have this chovish shepokuk kak shepishton, you used flax to use it to close this hole, Can you take it out? Can you put the spout in and out on Shabbos? So some people say, Osir. Why? Schita. If you're going to take the spout, and you have this linen on the side, and it's already soaked with water, any little squeeze that I give that linen, what's going to happen? You're squeezing out the water, the wine. And when you squeeze out the wine, that's the issue of schita. So you can ask yourself, the schita, whether it's the schita of dosh, or whether it's the schita of even malabin, depends if it's red wine, white wine, okay, that we don't want to get into the issue whether it's two yisurim d'araisa or one yisur d'araisa. That could be a question. If it was white wine, you might have a double problem, because you're also whitening. By squeezing out the wine, you're also whitening this flax. But even without that, you're squeezing it out, you have a cloth, you squeeze out wine from a cloth, that's considered schita. So now you put it in, you've squeezed it, you have a problem. That's what one tzad says. The other tzad says, no. It's a psik reisha delei nichale. That's the shita of the aruch. The aruch paskins that since you don't really want to lose the wine, nobody wants that when you squeeze in, or when you take it out, when you take this spout in and out of the barrel, what will inevitably happen is you're going to lose some wine. Did you want to lose that wine? No, that wine is going, it's going lost. It's going to go on the floor. It's going to get lost. It's going to get dirty and become useless. So yes, it might be a psik reisha. It's definitely going to happen. But it's a psik reisha deloi nichale. It's a psik reisha that you don't want it to happen. And there the aruch paskins, psik reisha deloi nichale is mutter. And therefore the halacha is the way Shulchan Aruch brings it over there. He brings, some say it's mutter, which is a shita of the aruch. The lenichalei umutter. The chol kolov, and the Tosfos argues, and the Rosh and others argue on him, they say, afagav lenichalei, since it's a psik reisha, it's also. The oilam naigin heta badova. The oilam is naig heta to do it, to allow you to do it. But he says, the Shulchan Aruch, you have to make sure, toiv lanigam shloi kli tachas achovet b'shosh shepoiking on nekev. You have to be very careful not to leave a keli underneath, because if I squeeze it in, and the wine comes out, but I catch it in a cup, or I catch it in a keli, then it will go from a psik reisha deloi nichalei to nichalei, because now I have the wine. So I got to make sure that it has to go down the drain. And once it goes down the drain, there will be mutter to use it. So that's. Yes. Okay, so that's. There are two types of psik reishas. There's a psik reisha deloi nichalei, and a psik reisha deloi ichbaslei. There's a, you know, you don't care. So there is a difference. I'm not sure exactly in halacha what the differences are, but there is that difference. There is that difference brought in the paiskim between loi nichalei, I don't want it, or that loi ichbaslei, I'm indifferent to it. But we're going to have. So that's what you have over here. So you have the question of psik reisha. So therefore. Says the Magen Avraham in Siman Shin Lamed Vav. He proves it from a different Gemara. What happens if the garden's not yours? So if the garden's not yours, you're going to say, well, it's a psik reisha. That's going to. Well, we'll get to the Echvasa in a minute. It's a psik reisha that the water's going to go on the ground. Especially if you, in this case, we're still talking about the Netilas Yadayim. When you're washing the Netilas Yadayim, it's a psik reisha that the water's going to go on the ground. Now, you say, okay, and if the water goes on the ground, it's going to make the things grow. And if it makes it grow, so that's awesome in Dimzaria. Says the Magen Avraham, there are those that are makel. Why? If the garden is not yours, some say it has to belong to a goy. Or, if it's not of a person whom you love, yesh matirin. The kiv and the psik reisha lo nichalehu, shari af lechatchila. I don't care. So I don't want it. You want this grass to grow? I couldn't care less about it. No, I'm indifferent to this grass. This is the grass that belongs to the hotel. I'm leaving the hotel tomorrow morning. This is the last day Yom Tov. The grass, for all I care, after I leave, the grass can wither. As long as I'm there, it needs to have grass. Afterwards, who cares? That's not very nice of me, but you know, But that's a different discussion. You know, whether I'm a nice person or not. That we'll have to discuss in a different year. But as far as I'm concerned, it's not my grass. It belongs to a guy. If it's watered, it's water. If it's not watered, it's not water. Whatever. Very indifferent to it. So therefore the Mishra, so he writes, the Mishra Brewer writes, that since it's a, the Paiskim HaMatek is a psik reisha nichalei. Shari after Chatchila, Mimut even the Chatchila. The Habe Poiskim Oishim Gam Psikreshul, and Nichalel Chatchila, Kimabur Asaif Simon Shemkov. We saw already over there that there's a machlokes. So the same machlokes that exists by schita will exist also by here, by washing your hands over the grass. What we can say is, and this is what Rav Horowitz said, he said, Lemaisa, even if you'll tell me it's a psik resha, over here there's a machlokes about a psik resha loy nichale, the machlokes that's being discussed is about what? It's about netilas yadayim. Yeah? So the question, what he was saying, this is what the Mishnah Berurah is going on. He's saying about washing netilas yadayim over the grass, according to certain poiskim, will be mutter, even though it's a psik resha that the grass is going to grow, because I don't care about the grass, because the grass belongs to a guy. So if it grows or it doesn't grow, it's irrelevant to me. Said Rav Horowitz, Kol Shekein, in the case that we mentioned. Now we're not talking about a case where I'm washing netilas yadayim on the ground. We're talking about a case where you're drinking a ba'etzim you don't want to spill. But whether it was little kids that are pouring lemonade and it spilled out, or whether... Pardon?
Lemon not make grass grow anyway.
Okay, that's a question. If lemonade will be the same aloha as the meraglaim or shadra ma'machmitzim. If it's very acidic, you might be right. But people might be drinking water also. So water will make the grass grow. So water will be a problem. So you're sitting out and you're drinking, whether you're spilling wine from Kiddush or water or other things. He says, but now you have another tzad. That means what the Shulchan Aruch was saying is, I can't wash until Yadayim over the grass. And the Magen Avraham is saying, but if it's not somebody whom you like, then you are allowed to. Kepsik Reisha Le'nichalei. Now we're going to take it one step further. Now I don't even know if there's a Psik Reisha. Because each person that is going to have a drink, nobody's planning on spilling. You're planning on pouring a cup. The water should go directly from the bottle into the cup. And from the cup into your mouth. You know, the once in a while when you spill, I don't know about you, but if ever it happens to me that I drank and then somehow you moved or something and you spilled, what am I, a 3-year-old? You feel almost inadequate with yourself. I know how to drink out of a cup. Why am I spilling all of myself? You're not planning on spilling. So in Cain, you're not planning on spilling. It's not a psik resha. It's a garden or grass that doesn't belong to you. So therefore, he said, you don't have to make a machol. You don't have to, because I asked him, do I need to send a letter to this hotel, to whoever runs the tour that operates the hotel, and say to them, Rabbi, say, you need to consider maybe changing around your program. You're having people out in the garden, you're being machshil them in the shayla of Ramah, of spilling water on it. So he says, you don't have to make a machol. That's what Rav Horowitz said. You don't have to make it. But probably, my guess is, with all that is said, if you can stop yourself from eating there, if you personally think it's wrong to eat there, Yitaka shouldn't eat there. Everybody else is eating there. That's everybody else. They have this heter that we put concocted over here together between the Mog and Avram, and that's psikresha, lenichle, etc., etc. But it's probably better not to eat there, because if you do spill, you're still getting yourself into the shayla, because there's lots of poison that hold even a psikresha, lenichle, you're still asr. To say that this is lachatchila should be done. Pardon?
You just said it's not really psikresha.
It's not a psik resha, no.
In which case, why can't you have a party on your own grass?
So he says, so on your own grass, if you spill it, will be nichale. So you don't have the.
Oh, okay. Even though it's not
psik resha. Yeah. The Ramah is saying you should still be careful. The bekoishi yesh, because the Ramah says bekoishi yesh is ashal itlu shamayim. The Ramah says it's almost impossible to be careful to really make sure that nobody's going to spill anything. That's the Ramah's shita. And therefore, that, you know, we're passing at the Ramah. I hear what you're saying. That you're saying, look, if there's two adults and we know how to pour water and we don't spill, and why not? And you tell me it's a, and then if it's not psik resha, it's only a dov shem iskaven. A dov shem iskaven, we said, was mutter. Yeah, the Ramah for some reason says because it's almost impossible that people are going to eat out on the grass and not going to spill, it's better not to have it. So therefore, you should be careful if you're invited, especially in the summer, this could happen. You're invited to somebody's house for shalosh shudas and they're having shalosh shudas out in the garden. You have to be careful when you're standing around with drinks or when you're walking around that you shouldn't walk around over the grass with drinks, because if you do, you could spill the drink. And if you spill the drink, if it's something, unless you make sure only to drink, as was mentioned by Mr. Mankov, if you're drinking only Coca-Cola and Coca-Cola doesn't make things grow. And you go out with Coca-Cola, so then you have a, you know. I'm not saying that that's the best thing to do, be drinking Coca-Cola, but if that's your cheshma, maybe okay, something you stand on the grass along with Coca-Cola, get around it.
No, farmer, but is it a masher or a little more, will it definitely make
it? I don't know, but I think it's promoting what, whether it lemaisa grows or not, I don't know if that's the point. You know, I think the halacha of Zriya is promoting plant growth. It's not doing an action that will promote plant growth. I think somewhat it's going to grow. Something. No? Every drop of water makes a difference? I don't know. I'm not a farmer either. I would guess that every drop of water does make a difference. Pardon?
You're not allowed to spit on grass.
Yes.
For that reason.
Same thing, because it'll promote plant growth. Yeah? The interesting thing would be, the question would be, is if you have a very saturated ground already anyway. So it's just chucked it down. And you come outside, the grass is entirely wet. So it's going to make a difference. I'll spill a little. The water is, it's wet anyway. Im kozeh, you know, you still have the issue. Any little bit might do a difference. Okay? That's as far as shaila number one is concerned. So shaila number one, we got rid of. Now we get to shaila number two. We're probably only going to be able to set up the shaila, and we'll have to do it a different time. But the question is like this, and this is a big question, not only for the kiddush that I went to, but it's a big question for anybody who doesn't brok on Pesach. So if you brok on Pesach, so life is a little bit, more bearable, easier, whatever you want to call it. So if you brok on Pesach, so you make Kiddush on Shabbos morning. I'm not big into making Kiddush Shabbos morning anyway. We make Kiddush and we eat right away. We don't make Kiddush, have cake, sit around for 2 hours and then eat. But there are people that love to have Kiddush. You have Kiddush on Shabbos morning, or you go to Kiddushim, you go here, you go there, you have a shtickl to eat there, you shtickl to eat here. So the question becomes, the halacha is, ein Kiddush over Mochem Suda. You have to have Kiddush, and in order to be Yotze Kiddush, you have to have a Suda together with it. And that definition of Suda is what we're going to have to discuss. How do we define this Suda? Is a Suda only washing the Tilas Yedaim? Is a Suda even eating Mezoinus? And the question becomes, what if I don't have Mezoinus? How do I get around it? Especially for those people that don't brok on Pesach, they will not have. Where are you going to come up with mezonos from? The only way to create mezonos on Pesach is by broking. That's the only choice that you have. Yeah, because we don't take flour and mix it with juice because we're worried. Nowadays we don't know if it's machmitz or it's not machmitz, so you can't do that. So the only thing you're going to have to do that we can't do anymore. You mix flour with water. That's a moitzi. Yeah. So what do you have to do? You have to take matzah. Breckle it down, break it into small pieces, mix it with oil, juice, whatever, and according to those manna'amim that say that through broking, once the matzah is baked, it's not going to rise again. Are we okay over there?
Yeah.
Rabbi Victor, are we good?
Okay.
Yeah, okay, fine. According to those manna'amim that say that once you've already baked the matzah, it's not going to rise again. So you can take your matzah, make matzah meal, and then either whether you make knedelach, or whether you make a Pesach cake made with matzah meal instead of with potato starch, whatever you're going to do, that will make it into mezoinus. So those people that brok, you take and you make a kiddush, and you cut yourself a piece of mezoinus cake, and you make mezoinus, and you have a kezias of the cake that has mezoinus flour in it, you're good. Because you make kiddush b'mokum suda. But if you don't brok, so what are you going to be able to make of this kiddush? Either shahakil, we're going to get to that. That's going to have to be next time, right? You have either shahakil, or hadama, ha'etz. Yeah? So how are we going to get around it? So people have mentioned about a revius. So I think we're going to, because we only have 4 minutes left, and this really is a much larger topic, we're going to finish a little bit premature today. Mitzvah Hashem, next time, whatever next time is going to be, we're going to discuss this Shaila and Halacha, and then if we find a way around it, the next Shaila is going to be, what do you do, well, what happens then for everybody else? Well, how's everybody else? So you say, okay, the guy himself who made Kiddush, maybe is a Kiddush Malkum Suda. So what about everybody else? How do they have Kiddush B'Mokum Suda? Can you be yoitz with somebody? Can you be yoitz with somebody else's Kiddush B'Mokum Suda? And John, you can't. So what are you going to do? And you see that most people don't do it. So we're going to have to discuss that as well. Yom Yetzir Shem to continue next time. Anyone saying Kaddish? Rabbi Hanan ben Akash, Rambam Zgosh, Boch Hazak, Yisrael, Lefichach. Here will I enter him, it's a Shanaim, and I know you'll face a man, Zikoy, I did tell you, Amen.